Chapter 6 How to Be a Rebel. A few seconds ago, he was standing calmly on third base. Now his feet are dancing. He is ready to run to home base. He has been here before. He is one of the greatest players ever to play baseball. 4 times he has led his team to the World Series, and all 4 times they have lost to the Yankees. Now his team is down 6-4 in the 8th inning. Is it time to try to steal home? Stealing a base is one of the riskiest moves in baseball. It increases your team's chances of scoring by only 3%. And to do it successfully, you have to slide into the base at high speed, and there is a good chance you will hurt yourself. Stealing home base is even riskier than stealing other bases, because the pitcher can see you and he has an easy throw. The pitcher has to throw the ball 60 feet. You have to run 90 feet. So you have to run faster than the ball. And your chances of getting hurt when you are running to home base are 4 times higher. In the whole of the 2012 season, only 3 players tried to steal home. This man, though, is different. He has stolen home base more than any other player of the day, 19 times. In 100 years, only 2 other players have managed more than 9. But if you think stealing base is about speed, think again. He's 36 now, no longer a young man. He's been injured for part of the season. 6 years ago, he stole 37 bases in a season, but he has stolen far fewer in the last 2 seasons. His hair is silver, and he weighs more than he used to. This will be his last season. But this man has spent his life taking action when others stood and watched, and he's not going to stop now. He waits for the right time, and then runs. He slides into home base just in time. It's too little, too late. His team loses the first game to the Yankees. But the effect on the team is enormous. They are on fire for the rest of the season and go on to win. Years later, a journalist said that this man's attempts to steal home base were the second bravest thing he had ever done. The first was becoming Major League Baseball's first black player in 1947. To become original, we need to take some risks. We can never be sure that we will succeed. As journalist Robert Quillen wrote in 1924, progress always involves risk. You can't steal second and keep 1 foot on first base. From the start, Jackie Robinson had to deal with white players who refused to play with or against him, as well as hate mail. What made him so brave? We can begin to find the answer by looking at the families of players who are good at stealing bases. Since 1962, only 10 players have stolen at least 70 bases in 2 different seasons. Do you see anything interesting here? Look at the table on the next page. Trying to find out why some baseball players steal more bases than other players, Frank Sulloway and Richard Zreigenhaft found more than 400 men who played professional baseball. Then they found something surprising. Birth order can tell you which man will try to steal most bases. Younger brothers were 10.6 times more likely than older brothers to try to steal. Younger brothers weren't better players in other ways. The big difference was in how often they took risks. And they didn't just take more risks. They were 3.2 times more likely to steal a base safely. the desire to take risks actually means that younger brothers are less likely to play baseball. Across 24 studies of more than 8,000 people, younger brothers and sisters were 1.48 times more likely to choose sports where there are more injuries, such as football, rugby, diving, skiing, and car racing. Older brothers and sisters preferred safer sports: baseball, golf, tennis, rowing, and cycling. If we look at the three players who have stolen the most bases, Jackie Robinson was the youngest of five children. Rod Carew, who comes second in the number of steals, is fourth of five children. And third is Paul Molitor, who is the fourth child of eight. Younger children are not just risk-takers in baseball. There are differences in politics and science too. Soloway researched nearly 4,000 scientists to see what they had said when revolutionary ideas appeared. He looked at the ideas of major scientists such as Copernicus, Darwin, Newton, and Einstein, and he researched what 4,000 other scientists had written at the time. Had they supported these revolutionary ideas or not? Compared to first-born children, scientists who were younger children were three times more likely to support Newton and Einstein at the time when their theories were revolutionary. In the 50 years after Copernicus published his idea that the Earth went around the Sun, scientists who were younger children were 5.4 times more likely to support Copernicus' ideas than first-born scientists. We often expect that younger scientists are more likely to support new ideas. But Soloway shows that birth order is actually more important than age. As a firstborn myself, I was a little upset by this research. But as I learned more, I realised that the effects of birth order can be avoided. By bringing up all children in a similar way to younger children, we can raise any child to be more original. This chapter looks at how the family affects originality. What is special about being a younger child? Does family size matter? And how can this affect the way we raise our children? I'll use birth order as a way of looking at the effect family has on how likely we are to take risks. To see how brothers and sisters are more different than we expect, we'll look at how Jackie Robinson was raised, and also at the early years of some of the greatest comedy stars in America. You'll also find out how parents congratulate children in the wrong way, and how reading stories can help originality. Born to be a rebel. One day in 1944, when he was still in the army, Jackie Robinson refused to sit at the back of a bus with other African Americans. The driver shouted that if I didn't move to the back of the bus, he would cause me plenty of trouble, Robinson remembered. Robinson told the driver he couldn't care less about the driver causing him trouble. When Robinson talked about his attempt to steal home base in the World Series, he used similar language. I just took off and did it. I really didn't care whether I made it or not. I really didn't care tells us something important about Jackie Robinson and what he had learned about risk. Many people, when they are deciding what to do, think about how to get the best results. But someone like Robinson thinks differently. What is the right thing for someone like me to do? These people don't look at other people. They decide by looking at themselves. The first group of people, who think about the results and what other people will think, can always find a reason not to take a risk. And this sort of decision can be decided by birth order. For many years, experts have argued that it is helpful to be first born. When he or she is born, the first child doesn't have to share parents with brothers or sisters and gets a lot more of their parents' time. Firstborns are more likely to win a Nobel Prize for science or to get into the United States Congress. Research into 1,500 CEOs shows that 43% of them were firstborn. In Europe, it was shown that firstborns earn salaries that are 14% higher than their younger brothers and sisters when they start work. But the situation changes by the time they reach the age of 30. The salaries of those born later grow faster, because they are willing to change jobs sooner and more often. Firstborns avoid risk more than those born after them. Those born later are more likely to drink or smoke, and they are less likely to have good insurance. Although many people now think that birth order has some effect, the science of birth order has many critics. Birth order doesn't fix you in any way, it only affects the direction in which you will probably develop. There are a lot of other things that can affect you. It's difficult for research to look at birth order on its own. There are too many other things that can affect development. But when I looked at birth order, I discovered that it was a better way of deciding whether a person would be a risk taker than I had expected. In one study, people scored their brothers and sisters and themselves on school achievement and on whether they were rebels or not. A rebel is someone who doesn't accept the default. People with high school achievement were 2.3 times more likely to be born first than last. Rebels were twice as likely to be born last than first. There are two possible ways to explain the risk-taking in those born later. One is about how children deal with arguments with their brothers and sisters. The other is about how parents raise younger children differently. Although we can't control birth order, we can change some of its effects. Niche picking. Look at a lot of brothers and sisters and you will see the big differences in personality aren't between families, but between children in families. As adults, brothers and sisters from the same family are different in how much risk they want to take or how much they rebel, even though they have been raised by the same parents. Niche picking may help to explain this. The idea was developed by Alfred Adler, who thought that Sigmund Freud's theories about parents didn't explain the part that brothers and sisters play in the development of one another's personality. Adler suggested that because firstborn children start life as only children, they learn from their parents. When second or third children come along, the first child risks losing its first place, so may decide to take on the job of being a parent and give orders to the younger child. The younger child answers this by becoming a rebel. It can be difficult to compete with an older brother or sister, so the younger child has to choose a different path. The niche of the responsible academic achiever is often taken by the first child. Once the first child has taken this niche, it can be difficult for the next to compete. This depends on the age difference. If it's only 1 year, the younger child may be able to compete. And if it's 7 years, the niche may be open again. In baseball, brothers who are between 2 and 5 years apart were more likely to play in different positions than brothers who were less than 2 or more than 5 years apart. Jackie Robinson was a runner at college, but he couldn't compete with his older brother, Mac, who was 5 years older and won a silver medal at the 1936 Olympic Games. Jackie Robinson changed to basketball, football, and then baseball. Outside of the world of sports, I decided to look at comedy. Comedy seems like a risky job, so we would expect younger children to be more successful. I looked at a 2004 list of the 100 greatest comedy performers. You would expect an equal number of any group of 100 to be born first or born last. However, when I looked at these 100 people, 44 of them were born last, while only 20 were born first. They came from families with an average of 3.5 children, but nearly half were the baby of their families. When I looked at particular performers, I found that their older brothers and sisters were often responsible achievers. For example, Chelsea Handler's 5 older brothers and sisters are an engineer, a chef, an accountant, a lawyer, and a nurse. Niche picking shows how younger children often try to be different from their older brothers and sisters. Parents may try to give each child the same experience, but birth order pushes their personalities in different directions. Less responsibility. If Jackie Robinson had been a first child, he would have been raised mainly by his mother. But with 5 children to feed, Mrs. Robinson needed to work. Robinson's older sister, Willa May, washed him, dressed him, and fed him. And when she went to school, she took her baby brother with her, and he played outside of the classroom. And if he got into fights, his older brother Frank was there to defend him. When older brothers and sisters behave like parents, there aren't as many rules or punishments, and younger children take risks earlier. Parents often become more relaxed with the younger children, and things are not so strict. And as the older children take on more responsibilities, there is less need for the younger child to be responsible. The larger the family, the more the younger children can escape responsibility. We can explain the risk-taking of many originals by their position in the family and the fact that this gives them more freedom and allows them to be rebels. But parents can encourage children to be original, whether they are the first or the last. But one of the dangers of originality is that being a rebel is not always positive. It can also be negative. Some research into how parents deal with good or bad behaviour will be helpful here. Explaining and correcting. Some years ago, researchers found that between the ages of 2 and 10, parents ask their children to change their behaviour once every 6 to 9 minutes. This means perhaps 50 times a day, or more than 15,000 times a year. For their altruistic personality study, Samuel and Pearl Olliner studied people who had taken great risks to save Jews during the Holocaust between 1940 and 1945, when 6 million Jews were murdered. They discovered there was a difference in how parents had corrected the mistakes of those risk-takers when they were children. Their parents explained why they were correcting them 21% of the time, compared to 6% of the time for other parents. One interviewee said that her mother told me when I did something wrong. She tried to make me understand with my mind what I'd done wrong. The Olliners also found that explaining was especially useful when it made children think what would happen to other people as a result of their actions. This can also work with adults. In hospitals, to encourage doctors and nurses to wash their hands more often, David Hoffman and I put two different signs next to soap machines. Washing your hands stops you catching illnesses. Washing your hands stops patients catching illnesses. Over the next 2 weeks, we counted the number of times doctors and nurses washed their hands before and after seeing a patient. The sign on the left made no difference, but the sign on the right made a big difference. Using the word patients instead of you resulted in 10% more hand washing and 45% more soap being used. Thinking about other people changed doctors' and nurses' behaviour more than thinking about themselves. Behaviour and character. Good behaviour is encouraged partly by what parents say after a child has done the right thing. The last time you saw a child doing something good, you probably talked about what they had done. That was so sweet. By talking about their behaviour, you encourage them to do it again. But Joan Grusek did an interesting experiment about this. After some children shared toys with other children, some of them had their behaviour mentioned in feedback. "It was nice of you to share those toys with other children. That was a nice and helpful thing to do." Others were given feedback on their characters. "I guess you are the kind of person who likes to help others. You are a helpful person." Later, in a similar situation, the children who had received character comments were 45% more likely to share toys, while those who received behaviour comments were only 10% more likely to share. When our character is mentioned, we begin to build up an idea of ourselves as a good person. It has been suggested that the message "don't drink and drive" might be better if it were changed to "don't be a drunk driver." The same idea can be used for originality. When a child produces a good painting, rather than saying that their work is creative, we could say, "You are creative." When we move from talking about behaviour to talking about character, people think differently. Why parents aren't the best role models. We can give children quite a lot of freedom if we explain how what they do affects other people. They will be more likely to be original in a positive way, rather than a negative one. But as they grow up, they often don't aim high enough. Parents can begin the development of originality in their children, but as children get older, they need role models, people who have been original in their own area of work. Jackie Robinson, for example, found a role model in a young mechanic. As a boy, there was a danger that Robinson would become a member of a criminal gang, but this mechanic explained to Robinson that he was hurting his mother. Martin Luther King Jr. had Gandhi as a role model, as did Nelson Mandela. Some originals have found role models in fiction. For example, Sheryl Sandberg and Jeff Bezos have both mentioned finding a role model in the book A Wrinkle in Time, in which a young girl learns to bend the laws of physics and travel through time. There are studies that show that when children's stories show original achievements, people innovate more 20 to 40 years later. In one study, psychologists noted that original achievement increased in American children's books by 66% between 1810 and 1850. Between 1850 and 1890, the number of patents increased by 700%. Children's books reflected popular values at the time, but also helped to create values. It takes time for children to learn originality from characters in fiction. We can be sure that the next group of originals will have been affected by Harry Potter, books where there is a lot of original achievement. When children read about heroes who are also originals, it may change the way they pick their niches in the family. Wherever we are in family birth order, there are niches for us, and role models for originality.